Okie dokie. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. The Bible says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and to cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, when people read Revelation chapter 12, this is a mid-trib section of Revelation. Remember, we've taken these travels through the tribulation period already multiple times, and there will be multiple times further that we'll go through it. We are going to show the overlapping of the judgments. I understand that. I wish I would have got one of the books to show you the chart, but I understand how many people will depict the tribulation period as having a chronological judgment, say that of the seals and then that of the vials and then that of trumpets, and they come in that order, that rather than actually overlapping one another. And the reason they do that is because they take the book of Revelation and they carry it forward as if it's a chronological time, but it's not. It's actually overlapping one another. We've talked about this several times. So you're going through the tribulation period multiple times in your reading and in your study of the book of Revelation. And so even though we looked at Revelation chapter 11 and we saw in there the end of the millennial kingdom, bringing apart the end times, the end of the tribulation period, given the kingdoms unto the Lord, verse 15. And then we see in verse 18, 1,000 years later, yet it's only a couple verses down, you see it 1,000 years later. People get confused with that. So the same thing when you get to Revelation chapter 12. I've always looked at Revelation chapter 12 as a fairly important chapter. I know they're all important, and I understand we talked about chapter 11 being the key, and it is. But 12 has always been kind of near and dear to me, because if you get chapter 11 right and you get the doctrine of chapter 12 right, it opens up the idea of the Word of God and who we are as a church, and it really reveals the tremendous mistake of dominion theology. Easy to see that here, because what people want to do is they want to look here at Revelation chapter 12 verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." They want to say that's the church, or the Catholic institution wants to say that that's Mary, but it's not. That simply is, very straight put, that is the nation of Israel. The woman is the nation of Israel. We spoke about that last week. In verse 2, we find the Son. We find the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ here. It says, "And she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." So the first wonder that we find in Revelation chapter 12 is that of the nation of Israel. It is going to be the nation of Israel as that woman. But when we get to verse 3, now we see there appeared another woman, a wonder, in heaven. All right, this is different than a wonder coming out of the earth. And we've already touched on that, and we'll speak about that later on. But in verse 3, we see this as being who this is, who exactly that it is. This is Satan. This is the devil himself. This is the devil incarnate. He has 7 hands, heads. He has 10 horns and 7 crowns upon each of those, upon his heads. And so this is the devil himself. This is Satan in verse 3. Very easy to understand that. And in verse 4, we find it's not a confusing verse, but placing this particular verse either in its literal form or in its historical form can throw some people off. So we read verse 4, it says, and his tail, speaking of the dragon, speaking of Satan, he drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We're going to get into the latter part of that, of verse 4 here in just a moment. We'll look at it. But let's tie verse 3 with verse 4 here just for a second, because you may be sitting back here saying, wait a second, preacher. Who said that's the devil? Well, number one, we know that the devil wants to destroy in every way, shape, form, and fashion. He wants to destroy the chosen people of God, who is Israel. We know this is mid-trib. This is the tribulation period. This is a time when the Antichrist, who is powered by Satan, will go forth and try to destroy it. I'm getting ahead of myself with the chapter here. I'm trying not to do that. That's also the beauty of having an outline with you, is that you can keep yourself in check. I'm running over into the latter verses here of the chapter, so I need to slow down. So it is sacred. So we want to emphasize the fact of him being the dragon. Okay. Now keep in mind, it's not the Welsh dragon. Alright, because this thing has seven heads. So, you know, we're not in danger of having the devil on our flag. Amen. And, although, you know, it was used in on deputation. We'd say, man, I tell you, these people need the Lord. They got a dragon on their flag. Amen. And, but I'm just kidding. I want you to turn to two portions of scripture in the Old Testament, and then we're going to turn to a third. Look over in Isaiah chapter 14 real quick. Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to go from there to Ezekiel 28. And then there, we'll go to the latter part of the book of Job. And so get Isaiah 14 in your hand, in one hand, and then we'll start to look at who this is. Isaiah chapter 14 is where we're going to be. Isaiah 14. All right, so we're going to tie in a bit of a picture here, and there may be a few other places that we're going to go as well. Just have that up here. I don't want to lose it in my mind. I've been in the book of Ezekiel, my daily reading, and I tell you what, you read the book of Ezekiel, you quickly should appreciate living in the church age. Amen? And what a wonderful time to live where we do today, being in the church age. So we're going to look at those two portions of Scripture and tie this into Revelation chapter 12. And then, of course, we may even look at Genesis chapter 3. All right, we are in Isaiah 14. We know the Scripture quite well. This is a depiction of who Satan is. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, if you are without a King James in here, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I know you all would have a King James. But you'll find that when you read over in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is called the Day Star. All right, with a Day Star period, amen? That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we find here in verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 14, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" What does the rest of that part say? "O son of the morning." O son of the morning. What it does not say is, "O Day Star." Okay? Now, in modern versions of the Bible, they will remove "son of the morning," okay? And they'll put the name of Jesus Christ there as being the Day Star. And you have to say, well, who in the world would want to do that? We're going to see that here in just a moment. Who wants to do that? I'm trying not to chase rabbits, guys. Forgive me if I do. I said this morning, I'm going to chase one rabbit. We'll catch it. We'll skin it. We'll be done. And so let me chase this one rabbit. Why would he be called Son of the Morning? Does anybody remember that, touching on that in creation series? If he's the son of the morning, whose son is Daniel? He's my son, right? Can he be my son if I'm not conceived or born or living? Can he be the son of BJ if BJ didn't exist? So will we all agree that if he's the son of the morning, there had to be a morning before he could be created? Would that be fair enough tonight? Look in Genesis chapter 1 with me. Hold your places there in these scriptures that I'm having you turn. Genesis chapter 1. Now, we covered this in our creation series. You probably should remember to have the notes there. But if you look here, I'll skip down and look at verse 6. The Bible says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven." Now that's a capital H right there, referred to the third heaven. And it is being separated by a body of waters, guys. That body of water is called the Crystal Sea. We'll find at the end of time, and in the ending chapters of Revelation, the Bible says, "And there was no more time," and says, or "when time was no more, and there was no more sea." That's not talking about the Mediterranean Sea. That is referring to a sea like unto glass that the Bible speaks of, that the throne of God sits beyond in the third heaven. Okay? That's important to understand, because when those entities were separated, God put someone over that second and that third heaven that was going to be created or was just formed. Therefore, somebody on this day was created. Look here, if you will, again. And God made the firmament and divided it from the waters, verse 7. And under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, we'll continue to read, and you remember, the Bible says in verse 10, God called the dry land earth and gathered together the waters, called the sea the sea, and God saw that it was good. If we look back up in verse 1, up there in chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day, it says there. And it's, go back to verse 4. God saw the light that it was good. And if we look at every one of the other verses, verse 18, and it was good, which was referring to the fourth day, the fifth day, verse 21, and it was good. Same thing, verse 25, it was good. God looked back at all His creation and said it was good. However, there was one particular day, one particular 24-hour day that God did not say the day was good. Now, by indication, I'm not saying this 100% dogmatically, but in my heart, I lean about 99% to this position. If, according to Isaiah 14, we know for an absolute fact that the light bearer, now remember, the darkness and the light were separated on day one, day two. Division was brought in, okay? For without form and void, division was brought in on that second day. Something was different, right? And then the heaven was brought forth, and the firmaments were separated. This sea like in the glass was developed, and we had that heavenly body out there. Okay, well, God put somebody controlling that. When He created the stars on day four, and, you know, threw the stars out there, He said He made the stars also. Somebody had dominion over that thing that the Lord put in control. And the Bible says, I believe in my heart, when He says this, thou son of the morning. Guys, in order for someone to be the son of it, okay, it has to already be created or conceived. I come back to the simple analogy that Daniel was my son. The only way he's BJ's son is if BJ was here. You understand that? That's the simple, simple truth of mine. So, Isaiah 14, if it says, O Lucifer, which means light bearer or the bearer of light, thou son of the morning, it's pretty simple or pretty easy to deduct or conclude that Satan himself, you say, well, preacher, why is he not in here? Because God chose it not to be in here is the only answer I can come up with. And frankly, that's the only answer that I necessarily need of why the Lord didn't put it in there, why He didn't tell us exactly when the angels were there and all this. And most people like to assume that the angels always have been. You've got to remember, God was God when it was just God. And you say, I can't understand that. We don't need to understand that. Amen? We will never, in our finite existence on this earth, understand how God can be just God. We can't understand eternity. We can talk about it. We can look forward to it. But we cannot understand it. We can't understand it because most of us can't sit through a Sunday morning service for an hour without getting answered. We are constricted by time because that's we're human. That's the way it is. We're thinking, oh, I've got to clean the house, got to do this, got to do this, got to cook lunch, got to do this. Eternity doesn't work like that because time doesn't exist, you understand? And that's where God dwells. So we can't understand that, guys. We are created not to understand what eternity is like. We can talk about it, we can look forward to it, we can preach about it, but we can't understand it. Just like we can't understand the Holy Trinity. We just have to believe it. And that's what brings glory to God, is to simply believe what it says. So now let's go back to Isaiah 14. Taking it in light of seeing what we see in verse 12. I may end up spending more time than I anticipated on verse 3, but that is the way it is. I want the Scripture to answer the Scripture so that you have a full understanding of that which it is. Now, okay, we talked about modern versions changing the name here of saying the Son of the Morning to the Day Star, which is strictly a name for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, how art thou fallen from heaven? Okay, now notice that's not how thou fallen from heaven. We'll get to it in a minute. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, now count this out with me. We taught on biblical numerology this morning. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will, now by indication, what does that mean? If he says I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God, where is his throne? Below or what? Don't answer all at once. If he says he's going to exalt his throne above the stars of God, where would his throne be? It's in the stars of God. What's his name? Lucifer, the light bearer. He's the one that has the dominion over the second heaven where the stars of God are. We'll see that here in just a second. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. In other words, he's wanting to go into the third heaven, and he wants his throne to be where God's is. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now watch this. This is the one that got him, guys. This is what got him gone. I will be like the Most High. Who does he want to be like? God the Father? God the Holy Spirit? God the Son? He wants to be like the Son of God. That's his attack. That's why we're going to see what he's doing over here in Revelation chapter 12. Why it makes perfect sense of who and what he is, this great red dragon. I mean, what is a dragon? A dragon is a serpent, isn't it? It's a reptile, isn't it? We understand that. So, when we see here that Lucifer says, I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God, he goes, I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to be like the Son of God. We understand that because the Bible critics, and we have those that that like to change the Word of God, they want to change, O Son of the Morning, to what? O Day Star. The reality is, guys, it says Son of the Morning because that depicts who Satan is. He's not Day Star. Jesus Christ is. And you have to ask yourself, guys, I'm going to tell you, I think we make a grave mistake when we say, well, they just made a mistake. No, they did not. That's called intentional correction, is what that is. They purposely did that. Either, or you're telling me they're not smart enough to read the Bible and understand that name is the name of Christ and not make the mistake and to give him the name of Lucifer. No, it's something that's done on purpose. And behind the scenes is working this very power who said on day two of creation of when he was made, I will be like the Most High. So we find that in Isaiah chapter 14. Turn over, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. We've looked at this chapter in times past, and we're going to tie this all together, why the dragon is and what he is. Number one, we know that he is lying. He's there before the woman, which is Israel, who's travailing in birth, pain to be delivered, this child being Jesus Christ. He wants to destroy him. He thought that he destroyed him in the crucifixion on Mount Calvary. He tried to destroy him when he took him out and was tempted three times. He tried to destroy him then. He wants to take his place. He wants to be worshipped and revered. So he's a dragon in Revelation chapter 12. Why is it so important for us to understand? Ezekiel chapter 28, now you're going to look in verse 12, and one of the first things you're going to think of is, this says the king of Tyrus, and then we find in verse 2, the prince of Tyrus. Now you take notes in your Bible. What you need to do is you need to go over there and you need to circle the word prince in verse 2, and you need to write out to the side or in your notes, earthly king. This lamentation that Ezekiel has taken to the prince of Tyrus is to the king, the physical earthly king on this earth. In verse 12, the lamentation that he has taken to the king of Tyrus, this is Satan. This is the power behind the earthly kingdom. This is the power behind him. And that's why he's the king and the other one's merely a prince in the spiritual realm. Verse 12 says, Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou fillest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, if we go back Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he said unto the woman, what did he say? Yea, hath God said? What's he trying to do? He's attacking the Word of God. He's causing doubt in the Word of God. Jason, doesn't the Bible say that all things are lawful unto me? Period. That's what he does. That's what he does. You know, Paul, by the Holy Spirit of God, said all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Amen? Yeah, all things are lawful for me, but all things edifieth not. What Satan does is puts a period where God puts a comma. And we need to remember that. Because that's exactly what he did in the Garden of Eden. He came there. The Bible says here in Ezekiel 28, Thou hast been in the Garden of Eden. So he knows exactly what he's talking about. You say, how do we know that? Well, because there's only three creatures that's been in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, and he ain't talking to Adam and Eve. And that serpent. Amen? That serpent. Which, what is the dragon? Dragon's a what? It's a serpent. Thank you. Guys, I'm not setting you up, I promise. Just come on. Now watch this. It says, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. I love it when it says that. Anyway, thou sealest up the sum. Now this, God is telling this to Ezekiel to say, for Ezekiel to say this unto Satan. Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You're like, well man, that's complimentary. Mm-hmm. Thou hast been in the garden of God. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now watch this. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardust, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. I'm going to stop there just for one sec. Here's the deal. Number one, we know that Satan is a created being. We know that when he was created perfect. Alright? Perfect. Number three, he was created beautiful. I mean, ladies, honestly. He's got all these jewelry. That's his covering. Alright? Now, when you think of diamonds and carbuncle and gold being your covering, you kind of picture those things like scale, don't you? Think about it for a second. There's a reason behind that. It also says here that thy tabrets and thy pipes. He was a musical instrument. Guys, listen, we're going to get to verse 4 in Revelation 12 eventually. And it says he drew with the third part of his tail stars. How do you think he deceived? Think about this now. How do you think he deceived the third part of the angels of heaven? We know that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Okay? How do you think he did that? You got to, guys, music's a very, very, very controlling entity. And you got to be very careful with it. Be careful what you let into your ears and let into your heart. You may sit back in your chair, oh, preacher, I've been listening to this all my life. Yeah, we can tell. Amen. It will hinder people's spirituality. It will hinder their Christian growth, hands down. You got to be careful about it. Now I know that's a hobby horse for some, but I know it's a god for others. And I've had people leave my church before, and probably in the future we'll have people leave over the issue. And you know what? I'm standing on the right side of where the Lord is. I'm going to stand on it safe. I'd rather err on the side of conservatism when it comes to it than not. I'm just going to be careful in that area because that's a door that you open that you may never be able to close. Amen. It's a nice illustration. Matter of fact, it was on the topic of music that illustration of Can I Get In? It was on that topic of music that it was given unto me. So, we see that Satan was a musical instrument here. We see that his covering's all these jewels, man. And look into verse 14. Thou art, this is Ezekiel 28, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now I asked you a minute ago from Isaiah 14, where is his throne? In the midst of those stones of fire. What are those stones of fire? Those are stars. That's that second heaven. He wanted to be above those stars and be in the third heaven and be his throne be there. Not him. He was there at one time. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And we'll go on. We won't read the rest of it. But it does say there in verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground and will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. So here we go. We have this anointed cherub. All right. So we know there's a cherub. We know what a cherub looks like. A cherub has four wings. An angel is not a cherub. Don't get confused by that. An angel is not a naked little baby with a bow and arrow with two little wings fluttering. Amen. An angel does not have wings. An angel is a male. He doesn't have long blonde hair, blue eyes, and either, you know. But an angel is a male. They always appear as a male in the Word of God. They never appear as anything else. And you say, preacher, can they? I said, no, I think they can probably transform themselves. This may be true, but there's no need for them to do that. In Scripture, they never do. A cherub is a different being. Now, there are some preachers, there are some people that lock all these heavenly creatures together and say, well, it's an angelic being. I disagree with that. I do not believe that it's biblical. I do not believe that is accurate. I believe you have principalities, you have powers, you have dominions, you have thrones, because the Scripture gives those depictions in the Word of God. You have angels. You have one archangel, which is Michael. You have cherubs, which is a completely different entity than that of an angel. He has four wings. They have four faces. It's a completely different image. You can read about that throughout the book of Ezekiel as well. In Isaiah chapter 6, you have another creature called a seraphim. Now, what is a seraphim? A seraphim has six wings, okay? Six wings, all right? They're different animals. I say animals loosely. They're different creatures. You understand that? Satan is not an angel. I know people have called him the death angel. He's not the death angel. It wasn't Satan that went through Egypt over there destroying the firstborn. That was the angel of the Lord. That was Jesus Christ himself that went through there. Amen. Now, he is a four-winged cherubim. You say, well, why do they depict him as a dragon? If you go back to mid-18th century depictions of what a dragon looked like, especially in the ancient Eastern culture, those dragons don't have two wings. They have four. Where do you think that comes from? It comes from the Bible, guys. Because Satan is this serpent, this four-winged serpent, that has a covering of which was beautiful to look at and to lure people in. You say, how do we know that? Look over here in Job with me. Turn over to Job and we see why he's depicted as he is. Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41. So we know according to Isaiah that he's fallen. His name was Lucifer. He committed five atrocities in his heart. The fifth one's what got him. I will be like the Most High. We know according to Ezekiel that he was perfect in beauty, that he was a musical instrument, that he is an anointed cherub. Therefore, he has four wings. He is depicted there as walking in the midst of the stones of fire. He had been in the Garden of Eden. We've already seen that. Revelation 12 depicts him as a great red dragon that would take his tail and draw the third part of the stars of God, a past event that occurred, yet a future one in the second part of verse 4. Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41. This is what the Bible says. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with the cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw throughout a thorn? Will he make supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird, or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin, watch this, with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold the hope. Now I'll tell you what. You cross-reference that verse 8 was chapter 1 and 2 of Job. Chapter 1 and 2. When God himself says, hast thou considered my servant Job? Alright, because I know what most of you are thinking. Oh no, this is just a hippo or a crocodile, as your marginal notes may say. Keep reading with it. Behold, the hope of him is vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? Now, I'm going to ask you a question here, guys. We've seen some large, large, large crocodiles and alligators in our lives. I grew up in South Florida. I've seen massive alligators walking down our street. I can remember standing out in my driveway one night, real late at night, and seeing this dark shadow of something coming down the way. I think it's a dog or something like that. And it got between me and these boxes, and I looked, and it was an alligator. The thing's about 8-9 feet long. You said, how long was it really? I had no idea. It was 8-9 feet. I took off, man. I wasn't going to get a tape measure out. I didn't care how big he was. I just wanted to get some distance between them. I don't know if you've seen on the news here this alligator that's been walking around a golf course down there. And they're saying the thing's at least 15 to 18 feet long. He's massive, man. All right, we've seen those things. They're big, all right? They're huge, all right? But is there any of them that are big that says here, that we would tie this together as saying, who's able to stand before him? I've yet to see an alligator or a crocodile on this planet that can withstand a 50 caliber round. Alright? Just ain't gonna happen. Think about it for a second now. Verse 11, who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whosoever is under the whole heaven is mine. And I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. And you say, wait a second. We're talking about a crocodile here or a hippo. There's nothing comely about that. There's nothing attractive about that. You're not pretty. But the Bible tells me in Ezekiel 28 that he was perfect in beauty. Keep reading. Verse 13. Who can discover the face of his garment? Who can come to him with his double bridle? And I tell you what, that right there is we'll leave that for later. Verse 14. Who can open the door of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his, watch this, pride. Shut up together as with a closed seal. Let me stop there. Look up. His scales are his pride. What did we just read in Isaiah 14? What did we just read in Ezekiel 28? Because of thy beauty. What does pride mean? Lifted up. Think about it. Because of thy beauty. Lifted up. Keep reading. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. He's seared, in other words. Verse 17. They are joined one another. They stick together and they cannot be sundered. By his nestings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Watch this. Verse 19 ties with Revelation 12. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go a smoke as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. Now, let me stop you for a second. We're done with that. We're looking at a great red dragon over here. We're looking at something where smoke comes out of it. We see this thing that appears, the smoke is there. We see this great red dragon. Has anybody ever seen a hippo have fire come out of his mouth? Now, hippos are mean, and I know they look kind of joyful, but they're not joyful at all. They're mean. But they're no comparison to this dragon over in Revelation chapter 12. I've never seen a crocodile or an alligator or anything of that sort spit fire or smoke come out of its mouth. Now, we can sit here and say, oh, well, that just means vapor. That just means... No, it means what it says. That's what it means, amen. And where there is smoke, there is fire. That's just the way that is. So we understand here now clearly, Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, when it speaks to this other wonder, this great red dragon, we know why he's depicted as a great red dragon. Even if we go back to Genesis chapter 3, I've already mentioned it, but what did it say? And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and said unto the woman, yea, have God said? Yea, have God said, thou shalt not freely eat of every tree that's in the garden? Period. Instead of comma. The comma was in Genesis 2:17, where it says, you can eat of all of it except for that tree, obviously, and paraphrasing a bit. So people say, well, why? You know, you might want to know why. I can't tell you why, other than the fact that he was the fifth cherub that covered. He was that part of creation. And that's the reason we find in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan here is appearing, and John is seeing him as a great red dragon. He's a reptile. He's a great red dragon. He has got four wings because he is an anointed cherub. So we're going to go ahead and finish there. It's been about 37 minutes, but we've covered verse 3. I think you've seen enough scripture to understand that the great red dragon is Satan. Next week we can touch on the seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. We won't look at it that great. But verse 4 in the first part there is a position of the past. There are some people that will teach this drawing of the third part of the stars of heaven as a literal literal stars rather than the angels in heaven, and speaking of that of deceiving them, and I don't believe that to be true. All right, because the judgments that fall upon this earth, that of what hits the earth that we look at, they come from the breaking of the seals, of which you know God and His angels are doing that. When we look at the vile judgments or the pestilence, those come from God and His angels, as well as the trumpets. So even though things will fall and brimstone will fall, I don't believe this to have anything to do with Satan right here in Revelation chapter 4 of what will be future. First part of verse 4 is past second part of verse 4 is yet future, and the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We know who that is. And we'll pick up there, and we'll pick up on it a little more next week on these verses. But just remember, he's been trying to attack Jesus Christ. He's been trying to replace Jesus Christ. He wants to be like the Son of God. That's the one goal that he has. And the thing about it is, up until this book right here was finished, he really thought he was going to do it. He really thought that he was going to, if Christ would bow to him, he really thought that, yep, I'll have it. He really thought if Jesus would have stayed in the grave, that he would have had it. But when the book was complete, he knows everything in this book. And he knows what his end is. Alright? He's running around like a mad dog now, trying to destroy and kill humanity and do everything that he can. But when he's cast out of this heaven, alright, when he's cast out of the first and second heaven and is bound to the earth for the latter 3.5 years, guys, that's when things get rough down here. Not as if it hasn't been bad enough just in our age, as if it hasn't been bad enough in 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Buddy, when Satan comes down here to raise havoc and can't leave, it's going to get rough. It's going to get terrible. And he's going to be completely absorbed with the fact of trying to destroy the remnant of Israel. And so we'll finish that up next week. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed night. Thank you for the time that you've given us. We give you glory, honor, and praise for everything that has transpired tonight. Pray that you please continue to lead, guide, and direct us. Open up our minds and illuminate our hearts unto the spoken word of God. We love you now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. All right, any questions from tonight at all?